Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 22nd of January, 2024. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You can download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all of your normal podcast providers. If you're watching on YouTube, enjoy the show, hit like and subscribe, and all that good stuff. Send us a review on if you're listening to us on a podcast. On this week's show, the third win in three games over the Panthers, emphatic as it was followed by a gritty come-from-behind point in Coventry. Both games had their flashpoints. We'll be discussing them, and we'll be joined by Danny Stewart, the head coach of the Coventry Blaze, to look over how his team are getting on, not just ahead of the game in Belfast on Saturday, but tomorrow night's semi-final against the Sheffield Steelers. Jackson Whistle was between the pipes this week, and Cameron Pound added 2 points to his own tally. Both will join us for a chat, while Davey and Simon reminisce with our special guest, who will become will reveal all later in the show. There's a bit of news, and it's a heated weekend with the Blaze and the Flames on the fixture list, so we'll look at those two games. If you're watching live and like to get involved, YouTube and Facebook have the chat, live chat box, and we can see your comments, and we'll do our best to include you in the show. Likewise, we'll keep an eye on X or Twitter, and if you're watching live or listening later, drop us a line at AVFTB on Twitter. We're on Facebook and on Instagram too, Mr. Jimsy. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. Bitten a hot lemon into me. A lot of lingering away from last week. And so I might be signing a wee bit deeper this week. I don't know. But yes.
Bit of the Barry White.
Good weekend with the team. And you know, 3 points out of four on the roads. Okay.
Working hard, mate. Working hard. It looks like you're being put through your paces.
Working 9 to 5. Tell you what, I wouldn't like to see Jason Taffarelli's hourly rate, because that man works almost the clock around. So, no, it was a lot of fun, but as Neil Russell so eloquently put it, jock sniffer to jock washer. for that. But, like, had a good time with Kelly and Mark and Taff and Dicko, and it was just a whole lot of fun.
Mr. Kitchen, a weekend off for you behind the mic at the SSE. How are you doing?
Yeah, dead on. I mean, I'm assuming we're changing the title. From Jock Sniffer to Jock. What was it? Jock Sniffer to Jock what?
Television Neil Coach Russell said that. I thought it was a bit harsh myself.
Yeah, that's funny for him. No, good weekend, mate. Just a nice wee relaxing one. Just a trick, as we're going to be busy from now right the whole way through the end of April now. So, yeah.
No,
I just floated about North Coast for a couple of days. It was good, crack.
Well, spend the time as you do, mate. Spend the time Absolutely. As you do. Two away games to the Belfast Giants this weekend, boys. Let's get cracking with that first one. It was the third game in three against the Nottingham Panthers, and it was a win for the Belfast Giants. It was Nottingham who struck first with Jordan Kelsall. Their other goal came from Otto Niemanen. But for the Giants, Nazarian, Cooper, Roach, Prince, Ollie Cooper again, Will Cullen, and Jacob Friend were the goals. Tyler Biscarani, 15 shots on, 2 goals against, and Roxy Stevanovic, 28 shots on, 7 goals against. Andrew Miller and David Good were the two referees. And Davey, while it seemed to start a bit tight, the more the game progressed, the stronger the Giants looked. Nope. Oh, you're speaking, but we can't hear you.
Nope, we lost it. Nobody home.
No, we've got no sound from Davey whatsoever. David, we can't hear him. We give him a wave. Can't hear you, mate. Says, let's go to you. Says the.
I know you can't hear me. I know you.
Oh right, you know you can hear me. What happened there? I can hear you now. What happened there?
Press the button. Somebody wrote in the comments asked David to turn the volume up, so I pressed the button and turned it off. So that's because I'm an old man. I don't know. I need a tech. Person.
Back in the day, mate, we'd cut this and we'd start again and we'd do a setup, but now we're live, so crack ahead.
Ah, well, sure. Listen, I thought we started quite well, and it was a funny bounce on the puck that allowed them in for their first goal. We've clawed it back. Who's got the first one? Naz, that's the one where Jeff Baum's done a lovely little play out of shot, and it's gone through Stojanovic. Bit of a fly screen from Bobby McIntyre, and it's just landed on the line, and Naz has reached around and put in at one each. And then I'm just looking at my notes here. 2-1, Oliver Cooper from Josh Roach. Oh, that's the one where he skated the full length of the ice, and he just sort of flicked one at the top corner. Don't know if Stojanovic is going to claim he was a wee bit onsighted or whatever, but it's flew. It's like CNI. It's going in right in the top corner. But, you know, the game was obviously punctuated by the hit on Bobby McIntyre, the fight with Will Cullen, the fight with Charlie Curley. But, like, full value for the result. You go to the Panthers and score 7 goals. They're not a terrible team, but they're a team, obviously, with a little bit of turmoil going on there. But you can only beat what's put in front of you, and we beat them well.
I think that's what it is. And as the exactly says, like I say, as the game went on, like, yes, there they go. If you're anybody that's watching, will see, you know, they get the first goal, a good finish from Kelsall. Sort of the puck sort of hops over David Goodwin's stick, and Kelsall's there and open ice, and he's able to ping it by Tyler Bescaroni. But after that, the Giants just, you know, took hold and took control.
Yeah, I mean, you say bounce over a stick there. That's an unbelievable backhand pass.
Yes.
You watch it again, it's absolutely stunning, the backhand pass in for Kelsall to go through. But, you know, yeah, we got back into the game. We didn't let it, as I say, there's a little, in my opinion, there's a bit of a different mentality about this group at the minute. You know, we've sort of, you know, make no mistake about it, the additions of Goody and Cullen, and obviously the comeback from Josh Roach, who was absolutely brilliant in this game again, is really important to the group that we have right now. And you know, we concede that early goal, managed to get the lead. They come back to get it 2-2, I believe, wasn't it, from memory?
Yes.
And then we sort of just put our foot down and went on. I mean, that hit on Bobby Mack in the second period, by Caruso. I've seen his eye today. It's the first time I've seen him today. Dave, you would have seen him after the game on Saturday night and on Sunday. I just cannot believe in this day and age that can't be looked at. And I genuinely cannot believe there's no suspension out of that. That's one of the worst hits I've seen all season long. And before all these different people jump on, we know they all watch the AVFTB, but before they all jump on, make no mistake about it again, that is a bad, bad hit from Caruso. He knew it was a bad hit because Davey put a clip on yesterday on his Twitter of, Charlie Curley getting the instigator when your man's already dropped the gloves before Charlie did as well. The instigation was the hit. And to see the black eye, obviously, of Bobby, it's a bad, bad hit. And how it's not been punished further, I just do not know. But again, we didn't let it get us down. We picked up a couple of power play goals again for the second game in a row that we did it last week against the Panthers in Belfast. And it was good to see Charlie stepping in there on Caruso. He's a bit of a bigger lad as well than what Charlie is. Good to see again Will Cullen stepping up for himself. And you know, it's there's just a wee bit of a different mentality about it. And it's starting to make me feel a wee bit, you know, more positive about things over the last couple of months, which have been really, really difficult for us. But I thought we dominated. Arguably, probably one of our better performances this season for sure. Was it the best one? Take out a couple of those CHL games in the league for sure. I think that's our best 60 minutes that we've played as a whole. And it was great to see that we managed to do it again. And again, you touched on it there a few minutes ago, Paddy. The Panthers have had a difficult time, and you know it's. It's. I don't want to go into further detail. We all know what they've had to go through, but it's another team that's put in front of you, and the bottom line is you have to keep on winning the games. So I'd rather certainly win against the Panthers and lose at any stage, and to get that victory and so solidly it was really pleasing.
Divi, you want to come back in there?
I just, a bit like what Simon was talking about earlier there, and a little bit of a change in mindset in the team with Cullen and Goodwin and Roach coming back in the team. What I thought over the weekend, and even maybe into the previous weekend, guys are starting to play their size. Oliver Cooper, Greg Prince, big bodies are starting to play big, whereas they maybe haven't been just that way over the last lot of weeks. Some real big physical performances, and Sam talking about loving to see players diving in there. It's not a great hit on Bobby McIntyre. We've already discussed that. Here it is, and you know, from that angle, he I think he's more leading with the glove, actually, and that's probably done a lot of damage there. But when you see it from the other angle, where Charlie Curdy's coming from, Caruso has the gloves off 10 already feet off before Charlie Curdy gets there. Now, I know I bang on about the instigator all the time. The instigation in this is the hit that Bobby McIntyre's had. You've got four officials on the ice that all get this whole situation wrong. Starting at just given, / David McGimsey, / pay is fine here. They've all got it wrong. The hit in the head isn't a 2-minute penalty. It's not an instigation. The Giants then, obviously, someone, I think it might have been Laker on this occasion, says something.
It's Nazarian gets 2 minutes.
Naz on this one, Nazarian on this one, Laker on the other one. So both fights, Belfast Giants also take a misconduct. So out of that penalty, they get 7 minutes of penalties and we get 19. We come out in the penalty kill and obviously then get scored against. Not asking the refs to be thicker skinned, or maybe I am. I don't know what exactly was said. I don't know. That's on our players to control their emotions in that situation. It's a highly charged game where you've just come off a massive fight. Somebody said something. I don't know. Control the game. Whatever. You know, something. And, you know, you end up on the penalty kill. Or how we come out of that on a PK rather than... So when you know, I'm the official guy. I'm the officials guy on this. I'm always backing them up saying they're part of the furniture. But you've got to get that situation right. Charlie Curdy's at the top of the circle. When Caruso has his glove off, you can't call an instigator for a guy that's going in. Charlie only gets one glove off. Caruso's standing waiting for him. As soon as he makes that hit, if you watch that video back, as soon as Caruso makes that hit, he's looking around and he's shaking the gloves off. He knows what's coming. I just don't think in that situation you can call Charlie Curdy for instigating, because the instigation is the hit to the head, and two, the guy's got his gloves off before Charlie Curdy's in the same postcode. So, look, it worked out okay. We've gone on and scored 7 goals. Never a bad result in the NIC.
Let's get the views of Adam Keefe after that game.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I think that it's been a long time coming where we put up more than 3 goals. And I thought that... I thought it was a matter of time before we got rewarded for our efforts in terms of our ozone play, and I thought we could have had more than the one there in the first period. So it was nice that the guys stuck with it. It was composure there after they got the first one, composure after some of the penalties there. We felt we were hard done by, but the composure was good on the bench, and then ultimately a couple of big power play goals, a couple of timely goals for us, and kind of controlled the game from there on.
The highlights of that game are available from Panthers TV on YouTube. We're going to batter ahead here because we do have Danny Stewart waiting in the wings, but I'm going to go through some of the statistics from the game on Sunday. We'll have a quick chat, and then we'll bring him in in just a moment. The Belfast Giants travelled down the road to face the Coventry Blaze. Obviously, hadn't faced the Coventry Blaze since they'd come in and put themselves into the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. And we spoke last week that maybe some of the boys wanted a bit of revenge. It didn't sort of go that way, but it was a good outcome to an extent. A 3-2 win in a shootout for the Blaze. Roth Norris and the shootout winner to McNulty for the Blaze, whereas Kieran Long and Sean Norris get the goals for the Belfast Giants, having been 2 down. Jackson Whistle in goal, 27 and 2 against, and Taron Cozen, the same stats, 27 shots on, 2 against. Matt Rose and Stephen Matthews were your two referees. Before I bring Danny in for a chat, just yourself, but I'll start with you. Says, you know, going 2-0 down the first period, including that goal in 35 seconds, isn't the script, as the Giants probably wanted to go into this game with a bit more confidence. But the determination to turn it around from that point and get a point, it shouldn't be overlooked.
It's one of the things I actually picked up from Danny Stewart's interview after the game. He said that he challenged the game to the guys to get it off to a good start. And they certainly didn't let him down a lot. I think, as I say, 35 seconds in and we're one down, which is always disappointing. The you know, after the first shift, you come off and you're, and some people are still trying to find their seats and you're already one goal down. But I like the fight back. Obviously, their second goal, I think, was on the power play. And then Jackson Whistle played very, very well and made some key saves at really key moments to, you know, instead of going three or maybe four down. And obviously, you know, the chance get back into the game with a goal from Kieran Long, managed to tie it up. But I think the biggest talking point, and I don't know if I can't see if Stanley's in the background here, but I think the biggest talking point is the physicality being taken out of our game. I mean, Travis Brown steps in and makes one of the best hits we've seen all summer, all season long, sorry. He steps in, the shoulder, and I can't remember who it is. Was it Dudek, I think it was?
It's Dudek you're thinking of.
Dudek sort of tries to step inside, and I think he sort of leaves his feet to try and, you know, elevate himself past Travis Brown. But, you know, the physicality is a massively important part of this game, and unfortunately, again, we get the penalty, a 5-minute major penalty for a hit to the head on that. When Davey talks about four officials on the ice and all four agree with the call, I just can't get my head around it. Davey would have been in a much better position than I, because I've seen the arrow pointing on his head after the screenshot that he took. But it's disappointing that, as I say, you're playing the whole overtime period shorthanded, and that is a tough ask. So I thought the boys did really, really well to get back into the game. I thought they did incredibly well to get the game to go to OT, and then obviously get the game to go to penalty shots. But for some reason, our penalty shots right now are not finding the cage, and that's something that's going to need to be worked on. But I'm sure Danny's very, very happy with the fight back from his team, because I think they've played 13 games in overtime this year, and I'm pretty sure they've won 10 now, which, you know, it just lets you know that group and Coventry are just a group of guys that just do not give in, and they play right to the 65th minute.
Davey, give us your input, and then we'll bring Danny in.
Listen, we've talked about the importance of starting on time, and we knew that the Blaze are the one team that have shown time and time again in this league that they go for the full 65 minutes. They have done, what Simon said, 13 times now this season. And obviously that very first shift, I think we've iced the puck and we've came back into our own zone for a face-off. We've cleared it out, they've dumped it back in, and it looks fairly straightforward. They've sent two men quick on the forecheck, and we've rimmed it around the boards, picked it off, and it's a shot from the outside that I don't know whether it gets it to Flexner or Jackson just doesn't pick it up, but look, it's 1-0, and then we go on that penalty kill, which I'm not convinced either. Like, when McLeod's going in on nets, he's put both skates, he's tried to get the brakes on, he gets slightly pushed in, they go for you, they go against you, we go on the penalty kill, we can't kill it, it's 2-0, and it's uphill. And then I think in the second period, what the Blaze did very well is they dumped it in behind us, they made us turn, they wouldn't allow us out of our own zone. We weren't getting the normal dominance in the O-zone that we'll like that game, that we'll like to play. We're spending a lot of time in our own zone. And when you're 200 feet from the other net, or I mean, not quite that far in Coventry, but whenever you're 200 feet from the other net, it's difficult. But credit to them on the sort of second half of the second period, we got that goal and we just kept grinding away and obviously came up with that bit of a messy goal. When I say messy, we had to get a lot of traffic in front of Cozen to score it. And, you know, 2-each, it was all to play for. And Danny Stewart will be able to say when he comes on, I thought at that stage we started to wear them down. It looked like we had a wee bit more jump than possibly they did. And then the talking point you've already had, and I know you put that screenshot up there, and that's not being big. I probably had, beside Taff and Mark, the best view in the house. And I swear, one referee's in the far corner, the trailing ref has called it from behind on the reaction of the player's body. It's flush, it's chest first. I'm not sure whether the shoulder guard then catches him. There's obviously that sort of whiplash where his head flicks back. He's been hit by a big body, smaller guy, hit hard. But I promise you, I swear on my life, it was all chest first. And that's not putting tailed specs on or anything. Unless somebody can come up with an angle from where I was standing to contradict that, it was as flush and clean. And Simon talks about taking the physicality out of the game. The ref who's diagonal across looking at it doesn't call it. It's called by the guy trailing, and for me, he can't call that because he can't see that that's head first or not head first. And I'm telling you now, it's not head first. Puts us under a lot of pressure. We obviously have to play 3-on-3 overtime. They've got 4, we've got 3. Big kill, goes to penalty shots. Bit of a lottery. We haven't been great at penalty shots. They obviously took our chances, flush 3. At 2-0 down and under the pump, second night in a 2-2 away home weekend, you get 3 points in at the Sky Dome, you know. Credit the boys for fighting hard to come back, but can't start games slowly, and you get punished by good teams, and Blaze have a good team.
Let's get the post game from Adam Keefe, and we'll be back in 30 seconds with the head coach of the Coventry Blaze, Danny Stewart.
Yeah, certainly happy with the fight back, but I think we learned you can't play for 30 minutes and expect to win a game, and you know, right now we're not very good in shootouts, so we have to try and sell the farm to win in overtime, and when you take a 5-minute major for overtime, it's kind of tough to do that, so that one was tough, but certainly we'll take the positive, we'll take the point out of it, that we had a bit of fight back there and we got rewarded for the fight back, certainly not a great 60, that's for sure.
And as I say, we're delighted to welcome back to your view from the bridge the head coach of the Coventry Blaze, Danny Stewart. How are you doing, Danny?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, doing really well. Give us, you've been sitting in the background there. You've heard what the boys have had to say. Give us your reflection on the game on Sunday night.
Reflection of the game? Well, obviously, as you guys mentioned, we got off to a good start. I think both performance-wise and obviously goal-wise, get out to a 2-0 lead. It's funny because I feel like at the Sky Dome, I think was it last year where we had 3 leads against Belfast at the Sky Dome, I think going into the third period, all 3 games, and we lost all 3 games in regulation. So certainly was no taking the foot off the gas, but we put ourselves in a good position. And then I thought we played a good 10 minutes in the first part of the second period. We had a really good kill there, with about 9-8 minutes left in the second. But then right after that, you know, they hemmed this in a little bit, puck went off our stick and, you know, landed on Longs, and it was a nice finish by him. And from there, they seemed to kind of up the momentum a little bit and up the pressure. And, I felt that was probably the time for them to get back in the game or even overtake us there. They really kind of hemmed us in the second part, but third period, I think I'd say probably they had the better of the play in terms of puck possession. I don't feel like they got inside us very often, though. We didn't generate much either. It was unfortunate we couldn't get something there on the power play in overtime. It's a confident group right now going into shootouts. And, you know, I can't remember if it was Simon that said it, but, you know, you got to work on your shootouts. But how do you work on your shootouts? You know what I mean? Like, guys do it in practice all the time. It's really just like any other part of your game. It's more a confidence thing, and you can do it all you want in practice, but if you're going out there stressed in games, it's a different animal. And some guys just handle it better, you know, at different points of the season. Like I said, it's strictly down to confidence, I feel.
I think too, Danny, there towards the end of 65 minutes, well, I suppose 25 minutes since the ice has been cut, I think all three guys, yours from memory, took shots, and I think all three guys from our, you know, tried to make a move on Cozen. So something maybe there for the guys to think about as well. Like, let's go on to the controversial topic, if you're allowed to, the hit from Brown. We've obviously had our discussions. You have your view from where you were and your own thoughts on it.
Tough one. If I'm being honest, I have, like, you know, we quickly turned our attention to Sheffield after the game, right? We got a big semi-final tomorrow. So I've watched it in full speed and slowed it down. I haven't, like, blew it up like some people have. I don't have the technology to do it as maybe you guys. But tough one for me. I don't think it's a bad hit. I don't think it's a dirty hit. In terms of the act itself, I think it's, you know, it's clean. I think it's kind of bang, bang right after it leaves Dudek's stick. I don't think it's late by any means. I don't think he elevates. I think I heard, I can't remember who said it, Kitcher, maybe said maybe that the shoulder right through the chest. The only thing I would say is, like, I thought Dudek's nose was broken, right? So he came off, his nose was like purple. It was bleeding all over the place. Now, whether that was from direct contact from the shoulder or was he doesn't seem to think it was his visor, the slit, the cut on his nose wasn't this way. It was more like this way. So
have you got the picture there, Paddy?
Sorry?
Has Paddy still got the picture?
Sorry, I've not always mic. Yes, I do. Give me a second. I'll bring it up there.
All I'll say from and even from talking to Brian as well, like you can see he's got his elbow tucked. He's lowering his shoulder. He's certainly not elevating in the head. So there is a chance like Dudek caught shoulder pad or whatever, but like Brian's going down. He's not trying to. He's definitely not targeting.
Yeah, I think I said that, Davey. I think I said he wasn't elevated. Yeah, right.
He's certainly not targeting. There may have been contact, but I'm telling you, it's definitely chest, maybe in the head, but he flushes him in the chest.
I don't think you can tell from that photo whether that's the direct moment of contact.
That's a good couple of frames before contact. What I'm saying on that, I'm standing looking six feet away from it, so like I have a good angle on it. But look, it is what it is. What my point, Danny, I suppose more than anything, was that it's the ref trailing. You're breaking out, so he's still in your defensive zone. Call him that because the ref who's diagonal in our offensive zone doesn't call it.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. But it is what it is.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? If the script was reversed, you know, I'm probably arguing for the benefit of my guy, right? So I try to have a pretty level head over these things. And you know, I heard Kitchy mention the physicality of the game, and I agree. I think it's unfortunately moving in the wrong direction. And I get the speed and skill of the game. It's worldwide. It's, you know, throughout Europe. I get that. But, you know, I think anyone that still says the UK is a more physical league than the rest of Europe, I think that is gone.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. So, but yeah, I mean, I think we could probably sit here for hours and talk about the hit, whether it was in. I think the key thing is whether it was a major, whether it was not, I mean, that's a split second decision by the ref. I think it's very, you know, a lot tougher for them than for us, but I don't think it's anything more than that. I don't think it's worthy of a suspension or anything like that. Like I said, I don't think there was malice in it. I don't think it was dirty by any means, whether there was a little bit of contact to the head. I mean, Dudek's nose suggests there was some type of contact, but whether that was secondary or not, I don't know. It happened fast. So,
it's what it is. Listen, Danny, what have you got in the water for your players at the minute? Because again, playing 13 games and having to go ultimately up to 65 minutes on a lot of them, you've got a brilliant record in overtime and shootout at the minute. You must be feeding them something in their water bottles.
Yeah, no, I just, you know what, we don't, I'm not going to sit here and say, claim we do anything special in overtime or shootouts. I mean, we do our shootouts every week during the week in practice. And, you know, every once in a while we play a little 3-on-3. We play a lot of small area stuff, but whether that has any reflection on our overtime play, I don't know. I think just like any part of your game, power play, penalty kill, results, whatever, you find a little bit of confidence early on, you know, and then you find yourselves in those situations, you play a little bit less stressed. And, you know, we've gotten some big saves from our goalies in those overtimes and certainly in shootouts, you know, they've closed the door and that's contributed to it and, you know, allowed our guys to those opportunities to end the game in our favor.
I don't really want to ask you about our game at the weekend because I know you're trying to concentrate on tomorrow night's game against the Steelers. But for any of the Blaze fans that are actually watching, you know, because they all watch our show anyway. what's your thoughts on tomorrow night's game?
Yeah, we're ramped up. You know, we're excited. I think, you know, being in that group with Cardiff and Guildford isn't easy, you know, and you know, last year we won the group and then we had to face a Guildford team in the quarterfinals who at the time I think was like a 94 win percentage in the league. And then this year, you know, we had to battle through, had some good games, some not so good games, and we found a way through to the quarters. And then to get by you guys is not an easy task. So, I mean, 10 games against Belfast, Cardiff and Guildford to get where we are. These guys are, you know, it's well-deserved. And you know, we're excited. You know, you're going against, you know, the best in the league right now. There's no second thoughts about that. And but at the same time, we're a confident group. You know, we've gone into Sheffield twice and had leads in the third period, and unfortunately lost those two games in overtime. And at home, you know, I think it was a 4-5-2 result, and we had a really bad, I think, middle frame there, kind of back end of the first period and start of the second period. We weren't good at all. You know, we had a little pushback in the end there, but, you know, probably a closer game than the score reflected, but you know what, we're excited.
Danny, if I can go backwards to go forwards, just to close one wee thing off, it's been killing me. 20th of December, you come in. I think we'd taken the first leg was 1-1 at your place, and we've obviously gone out to a bit of a lead in Belfast. What is the chat going into that last period? Is it just go and get the next goal and see where it takes? Because it snowballed really quick. We weren't in a great place, obviously, at the time, but we'd got ourselves in a really, really strong position in that game. And like we're still in a little bit of this is a month ago, and we're still in a bit of shock about it.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I can remember, it was 2-0 going into the third, right?
Yep,
that's right.
I think at that point, you know, we had been on a good run in December and full of confidence. So the message was just keep playing. You know, like we know we can compete with these guys. I think to that point we hadn't been good that night. Belfast was very good. They spread us out in the D zone like no team had all year, and you know, got a lot of time and a lot of, you know, good looks from it. And the message was like, okay, we haven't been at our best, and you know, they've been the better team, but 2-0, like we're in a hockey game. You know, we get the next one, it's game on. And unfortunately they got the next two, and you know, we got to about that 8-9 minute mark, and I'm not gonna lie, like on the bench, I started, you know, we had some tough games coming up at Christmas. I started, you know, giving guys some more ice time. We had shut Cook down because he had a bit of a niggle that night. And then we got that first goal, and just our energy levels just went through the roof. And like I said, it's not from me. It's just from that one act. And then we got a quick second one. And then all of a sudden you could see, I think, you know, Belfast started kind of getting back on their heels. I don't know if there was an element of they thought maybe the game was over. And one thing I will say that sparked our bench a little bit, and I'm not saying it to dramatize anything or create any drama or anything, but the celebration after your guys' fourth goal, I think it kind of pissed guys off a little bit. And it kind of sparked guys a little bit, and maybe, you know, gave us that thing we needed. So, but if you would ask me after even the two, if we would have pulled it back, you know, probably said chances don't look good, but our guys kept fighting and fair play to them. And it was an amazing comeback.
And good luck tomorrow night. The one last question for me before I let you go, more of a general one. I don't know if you heard earlier on, we talked about an incident that took place on Saturday night for us in Nottingham with regards to the instigator rule. And I know that this season that you've been hit a couple of times, the instigator rule will be Ferguson on McNulty. I know Ferguson on Clements and one with McNulty as well. It seems at times that I'm interested in your perspective to send that the instigation isn't really taken into account.
I was angry after the McNulty one, certainly. McNulty and Bush had gone at it for a couple games. Bush had asked him quite a few times over the course of two games, and then I believe it's close to the end of the period in our zone, and the whistle kind of goes, and I think Bush kind of just like pushes McNulty into the boards and says something to him, and Nultz just gives him a little tap on the shin pads, and they both drop their gloves and fight. Like, for me, that's as willingness from both parties as you're ever going to get. And I couldn't understand the instigator at all. I think there's a big area of gray with it now. What is, what isn't, I don't know what is anymore. Maybe the refs, I don't know. I'm not shitting on them, but you know, I don't know if they do either, but maybe because it doesn't happen very often anymore, it's tougher to judge it. But it's the Ferguson Clements one. It was we felt like a half second late hit on Clements, nothing malice or whatever. He got up and grabbed them, the gloves came off, and I don't think there's an instigator there, but I haven't seen the one you're talking about yet.
I think the general point that I say is the fact that you obviously have these incidents where there are dangerous checks, there are dangerous incidents there, and whereas, you know, somebody's coming in to protect or stand up for their guy, stand up for their teammate as they should, or as, you know, as yourself would want. And it's that is being seen as the instigation, not the original thing that would be the actual instigation. So therefore, in our case, we have a 17-minute penalty go to Will Cullen, who's steamed in to try to get Caruso after a bad hit on McIntyre. So, you know, is that the instigation, or is the hit on McIntyre the instigation? To me, McIntyre is the instigation.
I think in theory, really, it's the instigation of the fight. It's not I understand what you're saying, but that's not what the instigation. Now, my argument would be that there should still be a difference in the final call. So if there's a bad hit, you know, worthy of, say, a major, and somebody comes in and instigates the fight, the team that instigates the fight in defense of their teammate probably should still be on the power play. But, you know, it's not always black and white like that.
Yeah.
But
I'll say on it, I'll get Paddy to send you the clip. Caruso obviously makes a hit on Bobby McIntyre. And as soon as he makes a hit, he knows that's a bad hit. And he's shaking the gloves off, looking around him. And before Curdy gets to within 10 feet of him, he's to stick away and the gloves down. Charlie Curdy gets the instigator
when Caruso's ready. From that description, that's a different, you know, if that guy's a willing combatant, it doesn't matter who's approaching who. If he says, okay, you're coming at me, my gloves are off, I think that's not an instigator for me. It's when you grab a guy that's not willing and you force him into either he turtles or you force him in a position where he has to drop his gloves and you've already thrown three or four punches. That for me is an instigator.
Yeah, well, it's one of those. Listen, Danny, we really appreciate your time and your frankness. Good luck tomorrow night against the Sheffield Steelers.
Okay, guys, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Now, just before I go, Davey, McLeod, goalie interference, 100% a penalty. I don't know what you're watching there, but that's probably biased on your part.
We'll come back to that.
I'll agree to disagree on the Brown one, but no way on the McLeod one.
Thanks, Danny.
Big
thanks again to the head coach of the Coventry Blaze, Danny Stewart. The highlights of that game are available from our good friends on Blaze TV. Right, we got two guys. Actually, both of them are waiting in the background because we're running a bit late. We'll start one. We'll bring the other one in a second. But we're going to bring in a guy who actually came through on under 16 for the Coventry Blaze before he went off to North America to refine his game. He's come in the last while. He got 2 points at the weekend. Please welcome to View from the Bridge, Cameron Pound. How you doing, buddy?
Hey guys, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. 2 points at the weekend for yourself, 2 assists. How do you feel your game is?
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, I don't know if I did anything special on them, but I'm glad it was nice to pick up a couple points. It was great that the team got 3 out of 4. It would have been nice to get that extra point in Cov, but unfortunately we didn't pull that through. So,
what are your thoughts on that, especially going into overtime on that penalty kill? It's difficult, especially, you know, we've talked ad infinitum about the hit there. But
yeah, I was just actually digging it out backstage there.
But just to dig it out as well, to spend those 5 minutes on the penalty kill and still dig it out probably felt great in the room.
Yeah, it felt good. But when you kill off a 5-minute penalty for the whole overtime, you feel like you deserve the second point there.
Yeah.
So it's too bad.
And I think it was Kohei Sato that sat the penalty, and we're just like knowing that with maybe 20 seconds left, it was going to be 4-on-4, obviously, and hoping that he was going to jump out and, you know, have a bit more legs than anybody else, but just didn't work out that way for us. So you've came in, Cameron. Have you enjoyed it so far? Have you got the ice time you're expecting, more ice time than you're expecting, perhaps?
Yeah. Well, I've come in. I've absolutely loved the town here. Belfast is just a great city. Love playing for the Giants themselves. The atmosphere is incredible for the home games. The treatment is fantastic. So I felt right at home, even though I've only been here for 2 months. It feels like longer already. So it feels like I've settled in nicely. Ice time. Yeah, I came in with not really any expectations. So I'm pretty grateful for the amount of ice time I've got. I guess that would say more than what I expected, I guess. yeah, no, I'm chuffed. So,
Cam, when you look at the, you just touched on, you've been there for 2 months now, and it's absolutely flowing in. You've had your parents over to watch you a couple of times. They're living over in Solihull. We talked about that today. But it must be good to be able to play in front of your parents as a professional. It's different when you're playing high school and college and what have you. But, you know, to do what every young kid who starts out in the game, you know, having aspirations of being a professional, you must be pretty in a pretty good place right now.
Yeah, it feels good. I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, it's a dream, right? To play professional hockey and then to be able to do it in front of your parents is fantastic. My mom has always been extremely busy. So she's never been able to fly out to Canada and come watch games. So it's been years since she's seen me in person. So that was really cool that she could come out, first of all, to the Coventry games. And then they actually came out for a weekend in Belfast last week, 2 weeks ago, for the doubleheader against Nottingham. So yeah, I just feel at home. You know, I've been away from home since I was 14, so I almost forgot what that playing at home feels like. It's nice. It's almost a confidence builder. It's cool.
When you get, obviously your dad played professional back in the early 80s, early 90s over in Solihull, Medway, and a couple of other places throughout the UK. What's it like to have a dad who played professional hockey? Does he you know, is he always on the phone to you to say, you know, he was a defenseman too, so is he, you know, are you doing this right? Are you making sure you're back in your position there? Are you, what's it like having a coach off the ice as well as obviously Kiefer on the ice?
Yeah, so even though I was gone at 14, I was fortunate enough to have every team I played for since I left for Canada, they streamed their games. So he was able to still watch every single game, and he definitely had plenty of pointers after games and advice, just tips. So although I've been away from home, he's definitely helped me tons with just little parts of my game. Even now, yes, playing here in Belfast, I'm getting sent clips of my games from my dad and tips on how to improve. So I'm very grateful. I wouldn't be the player I am without his help, for sure.
We must ask, our next guest is Jackson Whistle. We must ask him if he gets the same tips from his dad. It's a similar sort of, you know, to that. I can see him, he's shaking his head here. You see, obviously, you know, you've had experience now as well of GB under 20s, under 18s, like the Olympic list came out and Jackson there was all. Is this something you aspire to get back into that GB setup?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, that's a huge dream of mine, to be able to put on your national team's jersey and play for your country. That's pretty surreal. That's cool. So yeah, I'm just going to keep working on my game and hoping to crack the lineup. You know, there's a lot of great players there. It's going to be hard to break, but I hope I can eventually.
One other question I have is, obviously, you know, you've come from the U Sports, you've had your time playing in Kingston and Cornwall, whatever, but now coming in as pro, what's the difference? What is the difference now you feel that you've gone pro compared to what you've had at, you know, at college level, at junior level, at, you know, coming through the system?
Yeah, definitely. It's deeper, for sure. You know, when you come up through the system in Canada, there's always going to be one line or a couple players here and there that are exceptional, top talent, that you know are going to play pro. And then, you know, it fizzles out. You know, there's never going to be four lines all going. You come to pro now, everyone can play. Everyone's got their bit that makes them who they are. Everyone's got something to bring to the table. They're all extremely talented. So it's definitely that depth, the consistency of the talent, that's a major difference with the pro level players, for sure. You know, there's a reason that the guys are playing pro, for sure.
Talk this. There's probably several hundred or more Belfast Giants fans on watching this live, and over the last month, 6 weeks, there's been continuous 7,000 cries. It must be pretty good to be playing in front of 7,000 people every other game.
It's unbelievable. That's one thing I've never experienced. I never went to a college that brought in huge crowds, never went and played for a junior team that brought in huge crowds. So then to step up, and even my first pro game was in Glasgow, and that was quite... That was before I played home in Belfast. Even just being that first game in Glasgow, I'm pretty sure with the adrenaline, I couldn't sleep till 5 or 6 a.m. So it was an adjustment to play in front of that crowd. You definitely feel it a bit to start off with. Now it's, when you're on the ice, it's more white noise, but it's great when you have 7,000-8,000 people behind your team, behind you guys. It fuels you. It's great. It's really cool to experience. It's surreal for sure.
Cam, coming off the back of the games there at the weekend against Nottingham and Coventry, you come into Belfast this weekend, Saturday against Coventry Blaze. You've had a couple of days off, which hasn't really happened too often since you got here. You mean you literally through December you're playing more or less every other game, but the couple of days together, just sort of resting and relaxing and getting away from the rink to a certain extent as well. It must be pretty good for the body right now because you're going to be back on the ice tomorrow and building up, getting ready for Saturday.
Yeah, I always believe rest is a weapon. I think it's really underrated how much rest can help. It's hard to get into that mentality, right? Because you're always thinking, well, I've got to keep working, I've got to keep improving, and every day going 100%. But rest can almost be more beneficial when you need it, when you've worked hard and you've worn yourself down a bit. Having a day or two to recuperate and get back to 100% can be wonders for the body, for the team, just for morale. So it's nice not having 14 games in 28 days or whatever it was in December. It was a much heavier schedule. So this is lovely. Yeah, we're liking it.
We've got, just before we let you go, a couple of things. We got a comment in here for Andrea Owen saying that she was wearing a Pound jersey in Giants jersey in Coventry at the weekend. She got lots of really great comments from people who remembered watching your dad, and they're proud to see that they're his sons in the league. But we also have one in here from Jason Taff Ellery saying he's letting the Brits down with his choice of footwear. He thinks he's North American. Would you like to elaborate?
Yeah, Taff's been giving me a hard time since I joined. He, first of all, didn't like my Blundstones, which are just boots that you can slip your feet into. Very, very popular in Halifax and all across Canada. I like it because we live 30 seconds from the rink and I don't want to tie up my shoelaces to get to the rink. And then after that, it was the Birkenstocks, which are sandals, and I wear socks with them. Again, easy to slip your feet into. I just love the comfort. And
Birkenstocks with socks. That's a new one.
Oh, it's great. You wear them in the winter. In the summer, you take the socks off, but in the winter, you put them on and you can still wear them. So it keeps your feet warm, but also easy to put your feet into. He's been giving me a hard time. Maybe it's time for a change of footwear. I'm not sure, but I like the comfort and the ease. So
Jeff Bomstad, everyone saying that you need
a pair of cowboy boots. Funny enough, I have a pair of Texan cowboy boots. I didn't bring them over though, but I'm sure you'd be happy to hear that. So,
Cameron, listen, we really appreciate your time. You've been doing great. We'd love to see it. And maybe we'll speak to you again before the end of the season. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me. See ya.
Big thanks to Cameron Pound for joining us, and we crack straight on because also waiting in the wings is another man. We did mention him earlier on, another man whose dad played and coached in this league. Delighted to be doing it. He had a great game at the weekend. Delighted to welcome back to View from the Bridge, Jackson Whistle. How are you doing, buddy?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Turn your phone 90 degrees. That'll help. Good. Yeah, I see. Yep. There we go, bud. So give us your take on Sunday's. You got the ice on Sunday. Give us your take on Sunday's game.
I thought Sunday's game went well. Obviously, kind of tough to lose in a shootout. That seems to be the story of the last few games that I've played. But as far as going into that game and everything like that, it felt well. I thought the team responded really well. In the third period, we kind of dominated. I thought we gave ourselves a chance to come back and win. Obviously tough one going into overtime down the whole time. But that's just the way she goes. And, got 1 point out of the two, would have liked two, but that's the way it is.
We got Tyler Bescarani back and you got the split the weekend. Obviously this is the way that the Giants won. You took that injury earlier on in the season that sort of was difficult and put a lot of the weight on Besco. Give us an insight of what that would be like, because obviously, we know that you guys start whatever, and it's sometimes a lonely position. But if you've got to carry all of training and play, it seems it's a heavy load to carry for one person.
Yeah, no, it is for sure. It's more of a comfort thing, I think, to be honest with you. Obviously, as far as practices and things like that go, we have Andrew Dixon, who helps out a lot for when guys get tired or need rest. And actually, Gavin was out as well, too, at a few practices, had Peter check there. So you can kind of manage it. But I think just kind of knowing that you have someone there that can take the load off and play games, I think it's just more of a comfort thing, right? You're not worried about it. You're not worried about having to, you know, if something happens or if you get hurt or anything like that, you know, it's not in the back of your mind. So I think it is nice having two guys split the time. And obviously, as you've seen, you know, since we've kind of been back, I think getting that rest, we both played a lot better, myself included and him as well, too. So I think it just helps.
Talk about the having to jump straight back in, because Besko obviously went off to represent Canada and you did take a little bit more load than perhaps you would have expected coming straight back off the injury.
I probably would have played two out of the four games and we had them kind of that close together in that 1 week. And I think for me, it was great to kind of get back into it. It was kind of obviously with that Boxing Day game, I hadn't been on the ice since the 22nd. Had been, you know, had a few drinks, a few turkey birds over the days beforehand. So it was kind of just going in there. I'm just going to really get in there and get after it. And, you know, it went well and getting to play kind of the four games. You actually almost feel, you feel better, to be honest with you. But the more games you get, you kind of just settle in there. And I feel like since that, things have gone well, I guess, from an individual performance, but I'd like to get a few more wins in there on the record sheet as well.
So is the body feeling good and the mind's feeling good too?
Yeah, all good. I think, you're still going to be a little sore from injury. I think a lot of guys are always a little bit sore, so that'll probably heal up in the summertime fully. But as far as, you know, being able to play and actually perform and stuff like that, yeah, good to go.
Wes, we're talking to Cam Pounder a few minutes ago about his dad contributing to, you know, picking up little nitpicks about the way he's playing and what have you. Does Dad Dave still do that for you?
No, Dave doesn't get a whole lot of say anymore. He tries to. I think when it got to about third, I always hear him giving it to my brother a little bit. But when it got to me, you know, once we kind of got to about 13 or 14, I think he realized he didn't really know what he was talking about as far as goalie stuff goes. So they always watch, though. My mom and dad love watching, you know, whenever I get the chance to play. And they always, it's more just sort of more or less a good game or you stunk in the shootout or one of those ones. So, yeah.
Yesterday, obviously, you got the news the GB team was selected for the upcoming Olympic qualifiers and what have you. You know, that GB, you've been part of the GB team now for a few years. A lot of success, not so much with, you know, in the top end, but you come to expect that when you're playing against Canada and USA and, you know, well, I was going to say Russia, but they're not in it at the minute. But the other teams, and, you know, the top, Sweden, Finland, what have you. You must be looking forward to the challenge that GB has ahead of them again this year, which is going to be in Czechia and Prague.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I'm looking forward to it all, really, to be honest with you. This, you know, the tournament coming up in February there, that's a winnable, those are winnable games, I think. And, you know, getting that opportunity to go to the next stage of the qualifier would be pretty cool. As far as the Worlds go, I mean, realistically, you're trying to stay up. That is our goal. And I think when it comes to GB, you know, we have a great group of guys in there. And kind of a group that has bought into Pete's system and works extremely hard and kind of goes, you know, to the wall really for one another. Obviously, when you get there, there's a few games that you have your eye on that you think are winnable. But you never know, to be honest with you. You've seen, I remember last year or 2 years ago, last time we were up there, we had USA at 1-0 going into the third. And, you know, we had some good games against Denmark and Norway in the past and Latvia in exhibition, who ended up, you know, doing very well at the tournament. So that you can see the program, how much better the team has got. I think even from my first experience going to Budapest, kind of just praying to not get regulated back to kind of that third level and going and winning. And then last year getting going into the second division again. And when we got there, we really felt that we were, you know, deserved to be in that top division. So it's cool to see kind of from my first year to now how far along the team actually has come.
That's interesting, because that's sort of where I was going to go, was that obviously the GB have been at that top table for a number of occasions now, and when it was not back down, was it the determination is always to go back up, but it's seen now as being that's your place, that's the commonplace for the GB now, it should be commonplace now for GB regardless, and you know that it's played out by the attitude of the guys on the ice.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, you become a better hockey player playing against or with better hockey players. So the longer that you can stay up in that division, it just forces your body to naturally work that much harder to adapt and react to the situation on the ice. And I think it, you saw it, like I said there, when you came back down to Nottingham, how much better you were than some of the other teams were before. Years previous, you would have just been hoping to compete even in that division. And now I think it's great. So obviously, you know, our goal is to stay up and, you know, win a game, win two games, win three, you never know. Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of where we're at going into it.
I'm interested. There's a question that's coming here from one of the viewers, and it says, hey Whistle, what's the hardest thing you find when you have a shootout? And is there a difference between shootouts at home and shootouts away? Obviously, you had one on the weekend there against the Coventry Blaze. It didn't go our way. But what, when you go into shootouts, what's your mindset?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Right now, it's kind of been interesting. I think it's been weird, to be honest with you. There's nothing different between home and away shootouts, but I think previously in the shootouts, I used to do very well. I almost won every single one of them up until this year, and you kind of lost that first one. And then I kind of thought to myself personally, I was like, oh, well, you know what? I haven't been on the ice for a couple of months. Haven't really practiced shootouts, you know what I mean? And then just kind of the fact that the last three games I've played have even gone into shootout is quite probably statistically not, you know, normal. And then the fact that you've lost all three of them, you know, it's something that we've worked on, or last week anyways, after I lost those first two, going into practice, I pretty much did them every day. And I was like, okay, feeling good. You know what I mean? You can go through the whole lineup of guys, don't get scored on. And then for whatever reason it is, in the game, obviously, you know, they did a good job as well too, of kind of changing the angle and taking shots, for example, more instead of deking, which is obviously a little bit harder as a goalie to stop, I think anyways, when you're moving around shooting. As opposed to bringing it in super tight on me. But it's something, obviously, we got to work on as a group. You know, I need to be better at it, and I think we'll do a lot of it this week again. So,
last weekend's gone now, Jackson. We're all focused on, obviously, Blaze first and then the Flame to come afterwards. Back to work, what, tomorrow? I don't know where back to work today. I don't know what the schedule's been. But looking forward to the build-up, the two, what's, as you've said yourself, we've just got to keep trying to get points.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you guys have probably seen it as well too. Getting a few additions back to the lineup, things look a lot different. You know what I mean? It brings a lot of calmness and control to the group that you would have kind of seen in the second half of last year. And you're starting to see that again now, you know, just in certain areas like the power play, things like that. It helps out a lot. I'm excited, to be honest. Yeah, I'm excited to see where things turn up. I don't even want to really look at the table, to be honest with you. We're just taking it day by day. Keep getting wins, keep getting points. And when you get down to that kind of the wire, you'll see where you're at. And, you know, you give yourself a chance to be there. Good things happen. So,
one last question before I let you go. Obviously, earlier this season, it was a bit of crack. You know, one of the, you know, unfortunately, you took that injury and we did bring in Petr Cech. Now, you know, goalies union and all of that. But that's an interesting one. You know, what was your take on him?
Well, I thought it was awesome, to be honest with you. I didn't know a whole lot. I had no idea how successful he was as a goaltender in the Premier League. You know, obviously just having any Premier League goalie come in, you're like, oh yeah, this is, you know, kind of cool. And then to realize actually what he had accomplished, we put on a video one day in the morning. Kiefer had a 10-minute video. I think it was him getting into the Hall of Fame or whatever it was. And you're like, oh no, like this is unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? And he was pretty good on the ice, to be honest with you. I saw him. He was huge. First off, he's the same size as Besko. They're massive in there. And because I never saw him at the Ukraine game either. I was away with GB. So when I saw him, I was actually quite surprised at how good he was, you know, just tracking the puck, things like that. Obviously, probably doesn't skate all the time. So, you know, but I thought it was great to get him into the game as well, too, obviously. So it was pretty cool.
Brilliant. Listen, mate, really appreciate your time as always. Give our best to your dad. We hope all's well with him. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Yep, sounds good.
Cheers, Wes. Jackson Whistle for taking time to join us. We really do appreciate it. And just a quick reflection from you two boys. Actually, you know, there where we've got two lads, you know, Jackson in the GB setup, Cameron Pound aspiring to be in the GB setup. And Cameron Pound, first of all, you know, has come in with, you know, turning pro a couple of months ago, and Davey, doing really well.
Yeah, and I think Simon talked about it when he was on with Gary on commentary the other week. Sometimes when you put Jeff Baum, makes players around him better. And, you know, to come in as a first-season pro, and he's done remarkably well. He's probably, you know, I don't know, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 shifts a game. He's over 20 minutes a game. He's doing really well. And that decor of ours is quite deep, and he's holding his own in it. And that's really great to see.
Says, you know, as Davey said, you know, and he speaks very well, Cameron, as well. He's quite an intelligent lad.
I switched on already. He, you know, when he was in college, and he was he's a physicist. I can't say it. Physics. proper rocket scientist. So, you know, the kid's absolutely switched on, and I think he's been, you know, I think he's been good since he got here. You know, it's never easy coming into a room halfway through the season. He's a confident kid. You know, certainly doesn't let himself down when he's on the ice, and it's important that we have that British, you know, defenseman as well. Because, you know, when you're only allowed to play 15 imports, and I know this is probably going to go off on one with regards to people who watch the NIHL, but the level of hockey in the IHL over the last few years has been really, really good, and in my opinion. And, you know, when it's 15 imports and you've got to play, you're only allowed to play 19 altogether on the benches now, isn't that right? It's only 19 players, and including the two goalies. So, you know, there's not a never ending conveyor belt of top British players coming through right now, unfortunately. Yes, there's some great kids, 16, 17, 18. And there's a couple of young, I mean, there's not many 18, 19 year olds in the league right now that are getting regular ice time. You know, so we, him taking the option of going away to Canada, learning his craft over there, going to college in the NCAA or U Sports, is certainly a really good way to go if you can afford it, because it's not cheap. You know, there's a lot of, Jamie Thompson's wee lad in Dumfries doing really, really well. He's going to be a player that you're going to have to watch going down in the next few years. And he's taken the chance to go and play and witness at the lower level instead of playing at the Solway Sharks this year. And that's the thing, that he's getting regular minutes. And, you know, if you're not getting regular minutes, you need to just find a setup that's going to give you the regular minutes. We've had young Mac and Kel over in the last few years who've signed up with the Giants, and they just haven't had the opportunity to play regular minutes at this level. And again, we've had this conversation down the years, and if they're young enough, they're good enough. And yes, they're good enough to practice with the boys, but they're not good enough to have 12, 14, 16 minutes as it stands right now. And again, that's just my opinion. And once they're away, I mean, you've seen the likes of young Carter Hamill, Cameron Hamill. You've seen the likes of Kel getting regular minutes and Mac as well, in that level of the NIHL. And that is going to do them the world of good. But it's not like getting the opportunity to go and play in another country where it is the first thing that you wake up and when you're in the morning that you want to go and do. And you get a chance to get on the ice at an early time before you go to school. While you're in school, you're actually learning how to play the game as well. It's unfortunate that we just don't have the development problems or development things here in Northern Ireland. And hopefully that's, you know, with the new rink in Dundonald being open in a couple of years' time, you know, that's hopefully going to help. But until we get to the point where it's, you know, that these kids are getting a lot more ice time, and that's not just in Northern Ireland, that's throughout the UK and Scotland, England, Wales, all over. Until we get to that point, it's going to be very, very difficult to see that age group of 17, 18, 19 getting regular minutes in the elite league, unfortunately. And again, that's all my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
You're absolutely right, mate. We've spoken about it many times, about that sort of that gap in the ladder as you're coming through. And I know that, you know, round the corner from me here, Nick Crawley, who's part of the Storm setup, his son Josh, who's now at the Blackburn Hawks, but he'd been in North America for a bit, just trying to get that sort of development. He's been out. He was out in Canada doing a bit of work there to try to develop, and he's come back now and he's playing in Blackburn. But that sort of gap in development, where, and you've seen it, so many players who've gone out there to do it. You know, we spoke spoke to Boxy the other week. He's a player who went out there to try to fill that gap in development and stuff. And that's the way that, you know, that's the way Cameron Poundy said, you know, going, having to leave home at age 14.
Yeah.
And, you know, but having the opportunity to leave the home at 14 and be schooled in North America, but to come back here with, you know, as intelligent as he is, but also being able to play for a pro hockey team is, you know,
When you look around the Elite League again, I mean, you look at Liam Kirk. Liam Kirk's been the, you know, what he did in North America, getting drafted, playing with the Peterborough Petes, you know, having a chance in Arizona, and unfortunately picking him up at a really bad injury, you know, knocked him back a wee bit. And, you know, he did really well to come back for that. I can't actually remember where he's playing at the minute. It might be Slovenia or Slovakia. Yeah. But the kid's unbelievable. And Matt, again, I just think he's got everything in his locker that it takes to be a professional, top end professional hockey player. But he's probably too good for the Elite League right now because he's at the age where he's still learning his craft and he's got a real chance to make it at a top league. And whether it's Sweden or whether it's, you know, Slovakia, Czech Republic, whatever it may be. And I do see him coming back here in a couple of years' time and more likely end up in Sheffield. You know, and the kid's got it. I think he's an amazing talent. But you need to get to the stage where you're on the ice every single day, whether it's twice a day on occasion. And while Peter Russell's doing an absolutely brilliant job with Team GB, and you know, you look at down the underage groups, under 18s, under 16s, what have you, Spud Grubb, you know, Martin Grubb basically doing a great job there on their 18s, under 21s now. You know, it's absolutely fantastic what they're doing. And just hopefully we can continue to get them at 15, 16, getting, you know, drummed into them every single day. Guys, you really need to give up everything else and concentrate on being a professional hockey player if you want to have a chance. Because there's so many distractions now, including social media, that they just, you know, they get, I'm way over there. But it's one of the things that if you want to be a professional hockey player or professional at anything, any sport, you need to give it 100% focus with the best opportunity of being successful.
That's something we spoke to John O'Phillips about last season. It's, you know, the fact that so many of those lads in the Welsh setup and all came through because they were able to make those sacrifices. Davey, quickly before we move on as well, Jackson Whistle, we spoke about him many times before. He did take that load over the Christmas time when, as he said, the Spengler Cup for Tyler Besker-Owani. He seems to have come back to full fitness, and he's an important part of what we're trying to achieve going forward.
Yeah, and I think the three games that he's talking about where he's came in and we've ultimately gone to overtime and penalty shots have been, I think, two goals against maybe, and that's given your team an opportunity to win on any given night. You know, there's very few games in this league, two goals wins you a game. So we've got to score more. And when your goalie's performing like that at the back end, you've got to help him out and build the net at the other end. But, you know, you say the same about Cozen, you know, 27 shots, both of them both give the teams an opportunity to win, and ultimately it came down to a flip of a coin and a shootout, and as Jackson said himself there, they took three shots, we made three moves, and they scored, we didn't, and unfortunately. But look, Jackson's came back after that quite a significant break in the season, and, you know, as you say, Tyler had a lot of load to carry, but Jackson's came back in there, and he's looking fit, he's moving quite well, so, you know, it bodes well for the stretch here.
Absolutely. A big thanks to Cameron Pound and Jackson Whistle for joining us. Right, we've got one more interview. Davey and Simon did record this earlier on. We sort of trailed it on social media and we haven't said who it is. Well, all I can say is some goals are good. Messed it up already. Some goals are good. Some goals are great. And some goals are iconic.
Really do need this crowd on their feet and helping them. Kovalchuk comes out to help his defense off. Lofts out ahead, bounces off.
Absolutely.
Stanchion on the fences there. Kiselyev loses control. They're going for a chance. The Giants certainly got their chance on the back door. Yeah! Yeah! Come on! Twist! Justin Johnner comes off the wall and puts it past the goaltender. 3-2!
Simon Collins chase with the inside pass. Paddy Dwyer finds Dustin Johnner, and Johnner rifles it home for his 18th goal of the season. Simon, 2 goals each. My goodness, how momentum can swing in a hockey game. Excited much?
I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by the man on the end of that stick, Dustin Johnner. Dustin, it doesn't seem like 6 years, man.
I know. It's crazy to think that I've even been out of hockey for, you know, 5 years now. And thinking back to that game, I'm actually fortunate that I was part of that goal, or to be one of the actors in that goal. It was big for me to have it pop up every now and then and remind me that I got a chance to play for the Giants and play this great game back in the day.
It reminds me and Simon of just an absolutely fantastic Sunday afternoon, I think it was, the game against Ireland. But like, when you look back to it and you hear the noise of the arena, like, very special memories, even though we came out in the wrong end that particular day.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to, if you weren't there, to really understand how loud it was at that moment. I think we had just scored a minute and a half earlier or something like that to make it 2-1, and then we came back and scored. It was kind of a, you know, a bang-bang play where the puck, you know, gets passed all the way up, goes off Furley's stick, bounces over their D-man stick, and lands on mine. And I had a little bit of patience, which I didn't realize I had there, to, you know, settle the puck down and hit it in the back of the net. And just to hear that roar and see how excited I was, and the guys were on the bench. And you see the replays a few times from the bench view of that, when you see Kiefer jump up and you see the guys on the bench and you see how excited they were for everybody on the ice. And it was a big moment, and it's something, like I said before in previous interviews, that I'll never forget.
I remember you saying just before we came on air that, you know, it's memories like that sort of let your kids know that you actually played hockey. And they would have been very, very young at that age. And obviously memories like that, and they, with Facebook and social media, they pop up every year. Is, have you got it in your diary? Let's get ready and show the kids again.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, you know, you look at nowadays where every single goal starting from the age of junior hockey all the way up to will always be archived somewhere. You can go find it. Where as we look back to when we played in the WHL or played, you know, in North America when I played pro, or Sweden or wherever it was in Europe, it's hard to find those goals. So when they do pop up, I do try and save them to show the kids. And now that my boys are both getting it into hockey, and my daughter's a huge Oilers fan and watching hockey where we are over here, it's fun to see them. You know, they look back at the jerseys now that I got to keep from teams, and they wonder, oh, where was this one? Oh, where was this one? Well, this is where you were born. This is where you were born. You were here when I played here. And one day we want to get back to Europe and really show them all the places they lived and all the places we played and that type of thing. And that experience is something that we'll never forget and that we miss a lot.
And when you look at that game itself, I mean, we did a podcast during COVID, and it was, I remember, you know, thinking of iconic moments over the last 20, we're looking up, it's 24 years now, of the Giants, and that's right up there. I mean, I know we've won league titles and we've won championships at home on the ice at the SSA Arena, or the Odyssey as it used to be called, but that's probably my memory, my most fondest memory, even though it's a game that we lost, and being down 2-0, and getting that first goal to get back into the game. I mean, obviously you're on the bench, you're, you know, everybody's pumped on, you know, Arnhem were a really good team, and you know, we came within a two whiskers of two posts of winning everything that year. But what are your memories off the game itself and the lead into the game?
You know, I think for us it was big. I think, you know, that was kind of the first year we had that opportunity to get to the Champions Hockey League and be a part of that. And when we were there, you know, I think we were definitely underdogs going into that game. We knew it was going to be a big task and that they were a good team. And then you get down 2 and, you know, the game's, there's not much time left and you're getting down to that point and you're like, ah, where are we going to go? But then you get that one goal and it just gives you life. And now you're like, it's just one shot. And you know, we got that chance to get the one shot and I took advantage of it, and you know, it came down to the whole team and everything. And then you go to the shootout, and you know, the way the NHL and hockey has changed and brought in the shootouts and all the leagues around the world, it's part of it now. So, and it can go any way. So, you know, you get a goalie or a guy fumbles the puck or hits the post or misses the net, or it just can go any way that, you know, I can imagine being a fan. I am now a little bit with my son's games, and how much more stress I endure being in the stands compared to being on the ice when you have some control of it is such a difference. So being, you know, from an outside looking in, I could only imagine the anxiety that was building for everybody who had zero control in the outcome. And obviously it wasn't the outcome we wanted, but it was a game. I think that's the thing about sports is sometimes those wins create more character and create more of a passion for the fans than it does a win when you win 7-1 or something like that, where, you know, you band together. So I think that was a huge game for me to remember. I'll always remember, obviously you remember the game and the champions, or was it the, I forget which one we won, where we won the tournament against Cardiff in Guildford, the Challenge Cup. Yeah, that was the one. I was part of that one, and just be on the ice for that one too. I'll always remember, and having my parents there and things like that. There's always those moments throughout your career, and in other countries, you know, I was fortunate to be a part of some championship things, and there's moments, and this game definitely is one of those moments that you'll always remember and cherish, and remember the guys that are on the team, and remember the reactions. Remember when you come to the bench after and you almost fall. Like, there's things like that, whereas the excitement is always there.
I think that now would be a really good time just to play another one special moment from that game.
Come on, toss the score. Stick it bottom corner. They'll go wild, wild, wild. Here we go.
Dustin John and I. Needs to come in, takes a shot, takes it.
Yes! Yes! Come on! He ties this up in the SSA!
It's just fantastic, because that comes up on Twitter every 12 months, and we'll probably tag you in it every couple of years and still get goosebumps. Simon, you know, I don't know how you feel, like the two of us screaming there. I think we're on our knees up in whatever box it was, but it was just an incredible... It's one of the iconic moments of the last 25 years.
Yeah, I think that was the nerve. If you want to, there was nerves in that one. I think that one I had to score to extend it, or else we did lose. And
yep.
I remember Kiefer calling my name, and I was like, "All right, here we go." And I had done that move many times in shootouts throughout my time playing, and I was like, "I got to go back to the one thing that I know has worked for me in the past." And you know, and it was one of those ones where I think it did go off the goalie's shoulder a bit. And I know everybody's expecting maybe a bottom corner, but that's only the song. I was going top corner the whole time. So
let's talk. Like, it's brilliant to talk hockey, and obviously puts a smile on everybody's face when you get to do it. But what's it been like after the lights go out, after you're away from the game a wee bit and real world reality bites and all that? What's life like for Dustin at the minute?
Yeah, no, it's great actually. You know, I think I really had a plan of when I wanted to be done, and it kind of went according to plan, and I got to have my family, my parents there when I was done, and you guys all saw in the other video how much the game meant to me, and having everybody that supported me is, and it's hard. It was, I think my first few years, it was easier to kind of be away from it and just kind of totally shut my brain off from it and just be back in Canada and hang out with family and friends that we've been away from a lot over our years, my kids to be with, you know, their grandparents and that type of thing. And kind of try and find a new passion out there. And for me, it was, you know, I got to thank, you know, the Belfast Giants organization a lot for giving me the opportunity to go back to school and getting my education. So when I came back, I could have an opportunity like I have now to work with a company that, you know, we've started up a little company, and now I'm in the business world and where it's growing, and it's a lot of fun, and you see the ups and downs and the things like that. And you want to create a team of people around you that, you know, makes you feel like you're back in that locker room. So that is something that I've missed a lot, is just being around all those guys. You have 20 built-in friends that are always there for you and always have your back, and always, you know, Christmases and breaks and trips and everything you did together, it was in your wins and your losses, you're always rooting for each other. Whereas in life, lots of things are more individual. So I'm trying to help with this company we're doing now is to build that culture of, you know, it's a team. There's competition against others, but not within ourselves. And that's something I think that athletes really benefit from, and being part of that team after life after hockey has really helped with dealing with different personalities in the locker rooms. I'm sure you know over the years the type of personalities that we get, and not everybody gets along, but you got to find a way to get through that if you want to be successful. So, you know, and my kids are playing hockey, like I mentioned, and my daughter's, she started doing cheer when she was in Belfast, when she saw, you know, the cheerleaders there, and she still does it now and she loves it, and that's her passion. And my youngest boy's 4 and he's just started skating, and Luca's he's 9 and, you know, he's playing hockey, and Amy's, you know, happy to be back. But I think she might miss it more than anybody, being in Europe and just the way life is over there, and the lifestyle, and the relaxed, you know, just day to day was great. And we miss Belfast a lot. We miss Europe in general a lot, but we did really love our time there.
You know, just listening to you talk about our city and look, all we've ever asked of players that come to Belfast is to give 100%, and nobody can ever say that Dustin Johnner didn't give 100% every single shift, every single night. And if they did, then I'd be quite happy to drop the gloves with anybody. But what I mean, when you take out the 2 years that you spent in Belfast, you went through a period in the first season when you were hurt, and obviously you missed those championship games, and the game against Cardiff. I remember sitting with you watching the game, and you couldn't play in it, but you were straight onto the ice, probably one of the first onto the ice after the game itself. And then you obviously get the chance to play the second year. And as you said, you know, you went back to Cardiff with beat Guildford there in overtime, you know, and there, you know, your parents were there, the family were there. And it's the game itself, and we know it's important to have that family around you, because when you, and a lot of people who maybe don't understand the sacrifices that your parents would have made when you were growing up, and obviously the sacrifice that Amy and the kids made when you were on the road, and it must have felt really good for them to be there on those championship moments to share with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was fortunate to get that opportunity too, because a lot of teams would have maybe given up on me at that point when I had missed, I don't know, I played, 19 games or 10 games the first season, and those injuries just kept happening one after another. And I really have to give, you know, thanks to Thorts and Kiefer for, you know, seeing something there that they wanted me to, you know, see it through to the end of that contract. And because I know they didn't have to do that. So there was a lot there, but yeah, that was really something for me. I wouldn't have gotten that opportunity if that could have been the end of it there. And I guarantee you that would have been the end of it if they didn't give me that chance. So to be able to come back that next year, work hard through the summer, stay there all summer and just train and get back to it. And I really wanted to prove back to them that they're making the right decision to keep me. But also I wanted that one more year to, you know, end on my terms, have my family be there. And like you said, I'm seeing it more and more now, how much we sacrifice for our kids, where my, you know, to the level that I got to playing hockey, that it's just, if my kids get there, like, you know, the sacrifice will have to come at some point, and I will definitely do that, because, you know, and I owe a lot to my parents, and even to Amy, to giving up her career to come over and follow me to Europe and that type of thing. It's very, very fortunate that I had those people in my life, because some people don't, and they don't get that chance. They may have the skill, they may have the drive, they may have everything, but a lot of things got to come in place for you to be able to play a sport for a career and do something you love. And it doesn't feel like a job. You know, it didn't ever feel like a job to me. It was always what I wanted to do. And, you know, kind of now I have a job.
just I want to follow up on that before, Davey, we're finishing it off. But you just touch on that. I mean, when I played, I never felt like a job. It was just the best. It was the best time in the world. And now that you do have a job and you do have to get up early and you do have to go and work shifts, you know, would you pass on a message to any budding hockey player that even if they're guys that are in the Giants roster at the minute or playing professional hockey at 21, 22, is the message, play as long as you can, because it really doesn't get any easier when you do hang the skates up.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, not everybody gets a chance to play until they want to be done, you know, so, you know, it could be your last year. And there's a lot of times throughout my career where I thought it could have been, or, you know, there was a time when I was maybe 26 or 27 where I came back to North America and didn't have an opportunity. You know, I owe a lot to little Stevie Saviano to bringing me back over to Sweden. And we ended up that year having a great year. And, you know, I went on playing 10 more years after that. You know, at that point, I honestly was 90% of the way to be done playing and moving on to doing something else. So you never know. And you just got to take opportunities when you get it. You never know when that chance is going to come, or that phone call is going to come, or maybe somebody else unfortunately gets injured, or there's that thing, you got to try and do it as long as you can, you know. And then if your heart falls out of it, then you know that's your choice then. But you don't want to still love the game and give up on it and then regret it later. That would be, if I would have gave up after that season where I would have been hurt, I would have regret it forever. So I'm glad I battled through that, and the team gave me the chance, and we ended up, you know, ending with a season like that, which was so close to getting all three, you know, and losing to Nottingham 2-1 the last game was pretty heartbreaking. It would have been great to go out with a win, but, you know, it was a great team, great group of guys that I'll never forget.
Well, listen, Dustin, we would never be as presumptuous as to say we speak for all the Belfast Giants fans, but I think on this occasion we can speak for everyone and say thank you for making our city your city and for representing us and, you know, giving us those very special memories, and don't be a stranger.
Absolutely not. I honestly, we're looking forward to coming back and seeing you guys and seeing the organization and just showing the kids where they went to school and being a part of all that and just the places that we love to go when we were there. There's so many places that we used to love to go and have a coffee or go eat dinners and stuff that it was really our home for 2 years. And you guys really, everybody around made us feel like it was our home. So we appreciate the way we were treated when we were there. And like I always tell everybody, a first-class organization, and that's the reason why they stay successful and they have a culture the way they do and why guys want to go there, is just the way we were treated when we were there.
Big thanks to Dustin Johnner for his time. Guys, honestly, like, you think back to that time as well, and like that, first of all, that goal will always be, as I said, iconic with regards to the Belfast Giants. But you see as well in that interview his love for the organization, his love for, you know, the way we stuck by him. I've been getting messages on WhatsApp and likes from Brooksy and people who remembered, you know, some of the great goals that he scored, talking about those Challenge Cup, being injured for one of the Challenge Cup finals, being back the next year. You know, he's stripping the puck, you know, that ended up going to Smo for the winning goal in OT against the in the Challenge Cup against Guildford. You know, Dustin Johnner, Davey, I'll start with you. Dustin Johnner is definitely just one of those players that is right up there in the echelons of Belfast Giants.
Mate, just like players come and go, but, you know, legends stay forever. And he built himself a status that, you know, I consider myself genuinely really, really blessed to be able to do this podcast and to speak to some of these guys that were heroes to me and will always remain heroes. And you get to talk to them and tell them what it means for them to play for us. And they come right back with, you know, pretty much it meant the same to them. And we went on to have a lovely conversation off after the camera stopped rolling kind of thing. And I just feel really privileged to have been part of that. And I'm not trying to make it out to be a bigger deal than it was, but it was one of the most fun 20 minutes I've spent in a long, long time just reminiscing. It was a great day. I had a great day with one of my best mates in the world doing the commentary on it. To get asked to do that was brilliant. Then to be a brilliant game and to have those iconic moments in Giants history and to be in a very, very small way part of them. And when they come back up on your Twitter feed and stuff and you hear just the excitement and it takes you back to a moment in time. And I guess that's what following this great club does. It gives you great moments in time that you get to relive, and when the times that you're going through aren't great, that you've got those things to pump your tires up. Man, it was a lot of fun.
One of the things says that it also came shone out for that interview is the fact that, and we've said this before about the organization, is, you know, one of the things that prides itself is how it treats its players and you know, players who come in who are, you know, they go away with good memories. Win or lose, they go away with good memories of being in Belfast. And I think that shone through from the interview as well.
Yeah, but it's always the memories are always a lot sweeter when they win. And we talk about, you know, Davey just touched on there about, you know, chatting with Johnny and, I mean, you know what? That interview only came from yesterday. I was chatting to Steve Saviano about something and back and forth with him, and I said, you know what, we should do this, because obviously 6 years ago it was just David posted up on his Twitter feed and his Facebook feed there the other day, and you know, 6 years ago that happened in the Continental Cup, which, you know, we were all there. We all, you know, I'm reading some of the comments that people are putting down the side here. It's Johnny Baxter fell over the third row and the seats in Boomerang Corner, and other people basically bounced. Listen, I hit the deck, and then literally we scored that second goal. Both of us were on the ground. Yeah. I didn't see the celebration because we were standing in front row of the suite, and I think it was suite 19 doing the commentary, and literally just dropped and was so pleased to have that second goal go in, because six games to commentate on in 3 days is a tough ask. Doing it when my English isn't great, I think you've realized that over the years, but the first game, you know, Ireland versus Katowice, I think it was, I mean, I must have murdered about 30 of those names. Like, the whole weekend. It sort of got better as the weekend went on. But, you know, the game itself, the memories from the game, going 2-0 down, obviously getting it back to 2-1, and then Johnny scores that 2-2 goal, and you know, I nearly lost my voice. I don't think I've found it since then, to be honest. I was a night my balls dropped. But, you know, when you look through everything that happened that night, and then you think about, you know, the penalty shot, which Jimbo hit the post, I think it was, wasn't it? Or was it Jimbo hit the post, or was it Paddy Dwyer hit the post?
I think Jimbo hit the post.
Jimbo hit the post, and then they go up the other end and get the winner, unfortunately. And and I remember, if you ever do watch that game, I remember just being totally lost for words after. I think it was about 20 seconds of silence. And I was just, Davey, both of us were literally, you know, our head against the counter, yeah. And we just didn't, you know, it was deflating, really, really deflating. But when you look back at it, it was one of the best moments that we've ever had as Belfast Giants fans, and make no mistake about it. And I just want to touch on something, because, as I say, we had a chat with Johnner afterwards, and I've always noticed that, you know, Davey's a wee bit emotional every once in a while. He was close to tears when he was talking to Johnny after the game, after that interview, because he feels that passionate about how people come to represent our city. And it's a wee bit different for you guys, because you are both living over in England at the minute, and you don't get to spend the games here. And I'm lucky enough to get to watch the games every weekend. But, you know, again, Davey was feeling a wee bit emotional about these guys. But it is emotional, because when you think back, it's good memories that you have as a fan. I mean, the people talk, oh, you're an employee of the Giants and you have to do this and you have to. I'm a fan first and foremost. I always have been. And it does get to you that you know, that obviously games like that and losing out on that penalty shot is something I'll just never forget. But it was an incredible moment. And I again, Davey touched on it. It was just to do it with Davey doing the commentating was absolutely brilliant.
I love the Continental Cup for just that. I love the Continental Cup for just having that. And like, I can't really add to anything that you boys have said, and just throwing my own experience and of that weekend, which is just of pure tense excitement. Higgy gets that first goal, and it comes, and it's right on the line, and he just, you know, Higgy does Higgy things, and he puts it in the back of the net. You think, hold on a minute. Wait a minute, we could be back in this game. And then, as Davey said so eloquently in the commentary, Johnner rifles it home and the roof comes off the SSE arena. I've never experienced the like of it, not for a long time. I don't know whether we'll experience it again soon, but that was just one moment that I couldn't, you know, still this day, I still feel it. And then
you just talk on the game about the roof coming off that night. And we've both been in the arena, all three of us have been in the arena when we've won the Challenge Cup in the last couple of years. And I don't think
And I was lying. Don't get me
even,
wrong.
Even the OT winning over Cardiff, I don't think was, and you know, I think that the because of the way it was, because of the way that we'd come back so late, because of the way we'd, you know, and the fact that it was that just to get it equal, it's just something in a European competition. That's why I enjoy the Continental Cup. And I was sorry, go on, Debbie.
I remember the noise. You talk about the noise of the goals. That go on.
the noise between
the end of the game and overtime starting was just like, I remember looking at the guys in Boomerang Corner from where we were, and they're like, "Go!" Like, and like, it was just those memories. Like, oh man, what a club we get to follow, lads.
Matt MacGyver drops the Wenger boys, right? Drops the Wenger boys in there. Just after that goal scored, there's a break in play. Matt MacGyver drops the Wenger bus, right? And you think to yourself, really? But the whole place. And it was great fun.
I see in the comments there, like, you talk about me and Sis being on the floor. Matt MacGyver was obviously on the floor too, because the goal horn comes about 10 seconds later. He's like, oh yeah.
It was. Oh yeah, goal horn.
Oh, but man. Oh dear.
One last memory for me is that for OT, I went back round to Suite 23 to the media box, and I sat there, and obviously they score. They Arlan take the trophy, and I'm standing there, and I'm absolutely just devastated, to be honest with you. Devastated. My voice is gone. Devastated. Luke Fisher from the Elite League is sitting behind me, and I look over to my right, and there's Robert Fitzpatrick, right? And I just basically, I look at Robert, and Robert just looking at me, and I just went, I think I practically shouted it, and I think there was an F-bomb in there as well, but I just looked at him and went, we're going to win the league. I'm telling you it right now. We're going to win the league. And we did, because that was the weekend that basically pushed us to believe that we could win. And we went on to win the league. And it was just a remarkable. Great to have just Dustin Johnner there. Great interview, boys. I was sorry I wasn't able to dig in. But the great interview from you boys. And I really enjoyed it. And big thanks to Dustin Johnner. If you enjoyed it, let us know. And maybe we'll throw in a few names and we'll see if we can get other former players to come and join us for a bit of a chat and bring them on, because it's something we enjoy doing. A bit of reminiscing for our great club isn't a bad thing. Go on, Davey.
Can we get Piggy Ketchy?
Who do I want?
My goodness.
The Belfast Datsuk.
I'll reach out to him, see what he's up to.
We'll certainly have a highlight. We can certainly pull some goals from the highlight reel there.
Right, where are we? We're an hour and 36 in. I was going to do the Dops thing with Sean Allen. I'm not going to do it now. We're running well over. What I am going to do just quickly is give you a little bit of news before we sort of wrap things up. While I do that, you can watch the Elite League goals of the week. We talked about Coventry's game tomorrow night in the semi-final of the Cup against Sheffield. The other semi-final between Glasgow and Guildford has already taken place. It's all its first leg has. It was a 0-0 in front of a packed Brayhead Arena. The second leg of that will be in the Spectrum in a few weeks. Sheffield have finally lost an away game, 2-1 away to Fife before beating them 6-4 back in Sheffield the following night. There were wins for Dundee over Nottingham. Storm hammered Clan 7-3 in Altrincham on Sunday, and Cardiff came back to win 5-4 over the Flames in a shootout. We also mentioned Team GB. The Olympic qualifiers take place in Cardiff from the 8th to the 11th of February against Romania, China and Serbia. From the Belfast Giants, we've mentioned the Jackson Whistle. We spoke to him earlier on and he's got one of those spots. But also that weekend, the Giants will be without Davey Phillips, Ben Lake and Sean Norris. That'll be for two away games, both in Scotland against Glasgow, who will be missing Robert Lakovic, and Dundee, who will be missing nobody. Should we have a weekend off that week?
It's difficult just the way the stand. I mean, we always go on the Ice Hockey UK and GB setups and the way they have their training or regime for the World Training or World Championships starts literally the Tuesday after the playoffs. It's a difficult one. All teams want to play. It's really difficult to give up a weekend game for a midweek game. You know, there's a big difference in crowd that comes in, and it's
you know, sometimes you have to take that chance. I mean, to be honest, the likelihood is we'll probably lose a couple of other players for international duty as well. You know, so Tedesco and Kohei Sato. So, you know, when you're losing five, six guys, it's difficult. But do you know what? Other guys are going to have to step up, and hopefully they can do that over that period of time. So there's a chance for other guys to make a name for themselves and get in the lineup and hopefully not get taken out of it.
David, do you remember when the Olympic qualifiers happened, we used to have the Ahern Cup?
Yep.
So do you think something we should bring back?
No.
Why? I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, sorry, you were looking at discussion. If you're gonna complain about having to play games short benched and then play voluntary games short benched, then I think it's a, do you call that an oxymoron? I'm not sure what that means. The idea that we could play six players short, to me at this stage of a season, yeah, it gives players opportunities, but for me, unfortunately, we need to give GB, as a British country, we need to give GB the best chance of getting the Olympics, because it's the best chance of getting exposure to the nation. And free to air, BBC, Olympics qualifiers, right? That's how you expose this sport to the masses. Stop making it best kept secret. Give everything you can to get this country to the Olympics. And until they make this really, really important, then we'll just stay the secret we are. And that's fine if that's where they want to stay. But until you make your... Going to the World Championships every year is brilliant. But going to the Olympics is different. It's the next level for me.
It's live on BBC television. It's live. It was live on BBC television. It would be covered by magazine shows. It would be... Being in the Olympics would be the next level. 100%.
Yeah. So that for me would be where I would want to see GB in the Olympics. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't think we should have to play six players short, by the way.
No, me neither. Right. Lastly, in this section, the league table, Sheffield Steelers, 51 points flying ahead, 29 games. We've played a game more, but we're quite a bit behind, 13 points behind and 38 points. Cardiff are behind us. They have two games on us and 37 points. Guildford, 37 from 30. Blaise in fifth, 35 from 29. Dundee, Glasgow and Storm are in eighth. Five Flyers, 25 and 32, and Nottingham are really up against it. Real chance that Nottingham could miss out on the playoffs, the way things are going. And but they are on 22 points from 26 games. Two games for the Belfast Giants this weekend. We are at home against the Coventry Blaze on Saturday, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. And if you're not getting down to that, get your tickets to that. And if not, join Simon on Giants TV. And then we go over to Surrey to the Spectrum to face the Guildford Flames Sunday at 6 p.m. You get that on Flames TV. Saturday's game is the Belfast Giants Pride game with a special shirt for the night. And what is the annual celebration that hockey is most certainly for everyone. And in the land of the Giants, everyone is equal. That is Saturday's game, 7 p.m. is the Pride game against the Coventry Blaze. Any other business, boys?
I'd like to jump in just on what you said there about the Pride game this weekend, mate. You know, obviously, we recognise a charity. Every single year, we do the Pride games, and the money we raise goes to the Pride. And this year, it's going to be the Rainbow Project. They're going to be our Pride partner this year. They're going to have a table on the breads. People should come along. Feel free to pop along and engage with them and have a chat with them. The shirt off the back is going to be up for grabs, obviously, again, as we have for every game. All the shirts that are for the players on the backs are going to be up for grabs, and people can buy their tickets, and the money's going to be donated again to the Rainbow Project. There's a couple of jerseys left over, obviously, because there's obviously not all the players can play. They'll be on sale at the OSC desk, and there'll also be a raffle jersey, which will be an Adam Keefe Pride jersey, up for grabs on the OSC desk that evening. And at the end of the game, Adam will hand the jersey over to the winner. That's going to be done in off ice bar after the game. We'll have Adam will come around after the game itself. He'll sign the jersey for the winner. We'll do the draw on the night. That'll basically be there for a winner to take home with him. We've also teamed up with Sporting Pride, who will also be on the bridge and have a table that night as well. It's, you know,
there's different people throughout Northern Ireland with regards to Belfast Giants and the land of the Giants. Everyone's equal, and everybody's welcome along to the Belfast Giants game. So if you feel it, you want to come along and you want to go and have a chat with the guys on the at the Rainbow Project on the bridge or Sporting Pride, please feel free to do so. That's one thing that we're looking forward to getting done this weekend, and hopefully we can get a result against the Coventry Blaze at home on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything from you, Davey? Any other business?
Not this week, my man.
Not this week. I'm just going to throw in one comment that I got earlier. Is that a War Games t-shirt? It is absolutely a t-shirt from the fabulous 1983 movie starring Matthew Broderick and Ali Sheedy, War Games, and it's one of my pride and joys. But yeah, two big games for the Belfast Giants this weekend. Giants face the Blaze at home Saturday 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena, and that's on, get yourself down there or watch it on Giants TV, and then way to the Flames in Surrey Sunday at 6 p.m. Davey, are you doing any more work there? Are you going to the Spectrum? Are you going to be digging in again?
Never know.
I tell you. Non-stop, buddy. Non-stop. The that's 6 p.m. and you get that on Flames TV. Big thanks to Cameron Pound, to Jackson Whistle, Danny Stewart, and of course Dustin Johnner for joining us on this week's show. The are we going to get anything from Blue Nutrition if you keep doing that, says? You know what I mean?
Yes, like,
I want one of those bottles.
Brilliant.
Got any more of them bottles?
Yeah, I'll get you some. No problem.
No, I'll send you a text afterwards. Not for me. Somebody needs one.
Here we go. Okay. All right.
No. I'll text you after. Wouldn't embarrass him on this.
Thought you were going to say it's for Lily on her goalkeeping duties.
No, she's got one of the ones with the wee on it. Is that what you call it?
Straw?
Is that what you call that?
I have no idea, man.
One of those aeroplanes anyway. That all the kids have these days.
She's got one of them. I'll send you my address for Blue Nutrition or what were they called there?
Sorry.
Blue Nutrition. There you go. That's it.
our nutrition note, partner here at AVFTV.
On that note, gents, always a pleasure. Thanks once again for joining us this week. Really, really enjoyed it. You can get us at AVFTV on Twitter. You can get us Facebook and kingdomofthegiants.com and all the normal sort of places. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Podcast Network.